Next on BYUSN, with Big 12 football media days beginning tomorrow, we'll discuss the storylines we'll be following and what we're hoping to learn. Plus, John Beck will join us to discuss BYU being picked to finish 13th in the Big 12, BYU's quarterback battle, and Zach Wilson's fit with the Denver Broncos. Also, former BYU runner Rory Linkletter on what it meant to represent Team Canada in the marathon at the Paris Olympics. Plus, some BYU football scheduling news that reunites the Cougars with another former conference foe. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Monday, July 8th. Hopefully you had a very happy 4th of July. My name is Jason Shepherd, and joining me is Spencer Linton, a man who did not qualify for the Paris Olympics.
No, but like 25 others have, right, from BYU?
We're in the minority here that we did not make it to the Paris Olympics.
It's just becoming a normal thing, specifically BYU track and field, and Whitney Orton Morgan is the latest, who is filling the third spot on the United States track and field team in the 5,000 meters. Had a couple of dominoes fall in her favor. She steps in with the fifth best time because two ahead of her decided not to run in that specific race. So now Whitney Orton Morgan headed to the Paris Olympics. And how cool is it that her coach, Jill G. Taylor, gets to reveal that to her? Watch this. This is amazing footage.
How's your French?
What?
How's your French?
My French?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Are you serious? Shut up. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
You're going to Paris. You're an Olympian.
Doesn't get much better than that to have your coach, who you have trained and worked so hard with and clearly is all about the team, like, to have Dilgie Taylor be able to tell Whitney Orton Morgan that she's an Olympian, amazing.
And correct me if I'm wrong, her race was about 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
So you're talking 2 weeks, and you probably moved on, and then to all of a sudden get that news, I mean, you could hear the raw emotion of that moment. So cool that that was captured. That's awesome.
Does that take it now to eight?
Eight. Eight current or former BYU athletes in the Paris Olympics. Eight.
How many of those are runners? Is it six of the eight? Seven of the eight?
I think it's seven. Seven runners and Jimmer.
That is incredible.
And you know what? I'm not going to put it past Jimmer that if he ran, he could probably win something.
On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Bad team in the Big 12.
I think BYU will be in good shape regardless of who the other teams are.
Holy cow, this conference is so tough.
The deepest conference in America, that the Big 12 was open for business.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Hey, we're headed to Las Vegas a few hours after today's show for Big 12 Football Media Days. We have a lot of questions. We're hoping for answers. And that leads us into our number one trending topic, which is the following. What are all of you hoping to learn about the state of BYU football at Big 12 Media Days? Jason, naturally, you're the first on live television with a chance to answer that question.
Look, the thing that I'm hoping to learn is something I'm pretty sure we're not going to learn. And it starts with the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the number one question right now with the football team. And maybe inside, they have a pretty good idea of how this is going to play out, but they're certainly not going to divulge that information right now when you have, you know, another, you know, month and a half before you're going to actually play a game. So that's really what I would like to find out, is where they're leaning on the quarterback situation. Where does that battle stand? But I also realize that from a competitive standpoint, it does you absolutely no good externally to announce that. I think the other thing I'm very curious to hear, and we've heard bits and pieces of this in different interviews that we've done and talking with players, is just the reaction to being picked, number one, where they were, 13th, which we mentioned, but also the win total from Vegas. Funny, we'll be in Vegas while we ask these questions, but the 4.5 wins. I'm very curious to hear how that has hit with the players.
We don't have a ton of reaction from the 13th place projection. Right. The 4.5 line came out a while ago, and we even had a chance to ask a few of the BYU players at the Fan Fest in the Phoenix area about that projection. Understandably, they didn't like it, but now they've had time to just stew on it. It's been out there for a while, and now it's not just one line. It's several in Las Vegas and in preseason magazines that have BYU picked somewhere between 13th and 15th in the conference, and they're all kind of settling around that 4-win line, maybe 5. So, yeah, now that there's been more time to kind of stew over that and the 13th place projection officially, I am excited to hear how BYU is responding to that. And if there's any parallels that they draw from BYU basketball. After we asked that question 1 minute before one of the BYU players or coaches says, well, BYU basketball was picked to finish 13th, because that's exactly where my mind would go. It's exactly what I would do. And how much of a difference has the addition of TJ Woods coaching the offensive line and Kevin Gilbride coaching the tight ends made? What tangible evidence do we have from the players that is making a difference, and how is it translating to the field? That obviously impacts the current state of BYU football. So, yeah, interested to hear how they're reacting to the official 13th place and then what kind of a difference they feel those two coaches have made. Connor Pay will tell you that it's night and day on the offensive line, but what does that actually mean? Like, why? Why is it? How has the accountability changed? How much of a difference will that make when it comes down to what really matters, and that's wins and losses, Jason? How much of a difference can an offensive line coach really make?
Yeah.
And an NFL tight ends coach. Is it enough to push BYU over the hump and get them into 6-win, 7-win territory? I don't know. I'm interested to hear what the players have to say about
it. Well, and the other part about this, you know, last year going into the season, there were so many new players. And, you know, Coach Roderick has talked about the fact they probably went overboard and maybe underestimated how long it was actually going to take to implement and have everybody gel with that large of a group that was new to the team. Now, those guys have been in the system for a year.
Sure.
Certainly, you would expect them to feel much more comfortable. And the guys that you brought in, a much smaller number of players who are actually new to the program, I'm curious to know how they feel that will help them going into year two in the Big 12.
Well, let's talk about some of the notable newcomers, even though it is a smaller number that you just referenced. It's not the 21 guys they brought into the portal last year, which was just crazy.
Yeah.
Any team that has that much turnover and has to implement that many new pieces,
If they can gel quickly, it's fine. But that most of the time, it just doesn't happen that way.
Including a quarterback. Like, now you have a first-year guy in the program. I know Keaton Slovis was a veteran, but like, he was still first year at BYU, and you throw in 20 other guys around him. Like, that is tough. So some of those notable newcomers, we mentioned two coaches, TJ Woods and Kevin Gilbride. They fall into that category, no doubt about it. Gary Bohannon is another one of those quarterbacks that's new to the system. There is an incumbent in Jake Retzlaff if BYU chooses to go that way. Will that give him any sort of advantage? The fact that he has been around the program and he did start the last four games for BYU. I don't know. Like, I'm interested to hear what happens there. Jack Kelly at linebacker, we've heard a ton about him. We were talking about him last week. We feel like everybody in the Big 12 will know who he
They'll know who he is
by the
soon.
End of the season. And then Reiner Swanson was the spring football MVP for BYU, the freshman tight end who is a true freshman, 18 years young. That dude got a lot of attention for what he was able to do. His catch radius, his ability to get off defenders, in pass coverage, and to go just make a play.
And
his physicality.
How many times has the tight end been the best friend of a BYU quarterback? I hope we see more of that.
Sure.
Because it really can be such a weapon to use. And so I'm excited to see how that part of the offense is implemented more.
Sure. You know, it's not like BYU brings back an empty cupboard either. Yeah. I mean, we have pinpointed 10 to 11 notable returners on offense and defense. So they're not playing with an empty cupboard. They didn't add a ton of new pieces. I'm excited to see how they feel that gel and that chemistry is coming together.
All right, so we're specifically talking about BYU, but let's broaden it out just a little bit more, because obviously we're going to be talking to everybody in the Big 12. So what other Big 12 storylines are you looking to follow when we get down to Vegas tomorrow?
Well, I think the first thing is that there are four new programs. Mm-hmm. and the conference feels different. It's bigger than ever before. There are now 16 teams. So even though Texas and Oklahoma depart, you add four more and you get to 16 for the first time. So all of these coaches are managing a schedule matrix and four newcomers and trying to figure out what the heck is going on here. So interested to hear specifically from the four newbies, Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and Arizona State, how they're preparing for a different style of play. Because on paper, and when you just have like passing conversation, the Pac-12 is largely, man, quarterback play, skill position play, like elite level speed. The Big 12 is known more for physicality, brute force. Not to say there isn't like awesome athleticism in the Big 12, but that's just kind of like the understanding, is it not?
Yeah.
Like typically it's like, oh, the Pac-12, full of skill position, speed, and athleticism. The Big 12 is like hard-nosed, physical. Can you go on the road and win in a tough place to play? Like, do they think there's that much of a difference? So I'd like to hear when we interview, and we'll interview a lot of people, the four new schools about how they're maybe, do they have to change the way that they play football to match up better in the Big 12? Or is it just like, now we do what we do in the Pac-12 and the Big 12 can just kind of cater or try and defend what we do? So interested to hear about that and just the feel of no Texas and no Oklahoma. And we talked about newcomers. Man, there are a ton of new quarterbacks in this conference.
Yep.
Just so many.
Well,
more than half the teams are going to have, I believe, a new quarterback in place.
And that's whether that's a guy getting his first start, was in the system, guys transferring in, KJ Jefferson, you know, a prime example at UCF.
Yes.
Coming in, you know, preseason newcomer of the year. So, yeah, that's interesting. There are a couple of things that I'm looking. You mentioned the four new schools coming in. I'm actually very curious to talk with the four schools that came in last year and ask them and get their feel for how it's different now 1 year later. Because when we've talked about this so much, the year before, everything is based on your own past. And you're projecting what your future is going to be based off of other conferences and other experiences. Well, now you have a year to really gauge yourself off the Big 12. And yes, it's going to be different because you don't have Texas and Oklahoma and you do bring in the Pac-12 schools. So there will still be some things that are new or new-ish. But I'm curious just how things are different, whether it's mentally different, physically different in year two for the four schools that came in last year. I'm also really curious just to find out what type of personality Deion Sanders is going to bring to the conference. We know what type of personality he is in general. Yeah. We know what he was last year. So I'm just curious how that's going to play in the Big 12. I'm really excited to be able to have a guy like Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, in the Big 12 and just kind of see how that evolves in this conference.
A couple of other questions that we notably are interested in, and this one is a tough case to handle for Oklahoma State. Ollie Gordon II was recently arrested, and now Oklahoma State fans, Big 12 fans are wondering about if he's going to be available for game number one, if he'll have to sit out a few games. Will it impact Big 12 play at all as he goes through some personal off-the-field issues? But what is his status? Jason, we're talking about a guy who could win the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, you're 100%.
He's the best running back in college football by definition of the award. He is the best running back in college football. BYU knows it all too well. 5 touchdowns he scored against the Cougars in that overtime thrilling loss by BYU. What will he be dealing with as he tries to get back on track to have another, what he hopes, is historic season? So there's that. And then remember Neil Brown last year, West Virginia's head coach? The Mountaineers are picked 14th.
Yep.
And he was like, notably, and
he was very vocal about how he did not appreciate that.
Yes, he was so bothered. And he specifically was like, we have one of the best offensive lines in the league. We bring back a ton of experience. I don't know why everybody's picking us last. They used that in a major way.
And he wasn't wrong.
The old chip on the shoulder. Yeah. West Virginia was a top 5 Big 12. And they were picked 14th. They finished in the top 5. They were the BYU basketball in the Big 12, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They used it as motivation. So who is this year's team that could most likely be like West Virginia? Because there, I mean, you look at like the bottom 5. Is it Baylor, BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, Arizona State, any of those guys? You and I said last week, Can BYU be that team?
Of course they can.
Can BYU be that team that is picked 13th and jumps up 7 or 8 spots in the standings by the time the season is over?
It's exciting. There's a lot of stuff going on. Like you said, we've got what? I think between the 2 days, we'll probably be doing close to about 50 interviews. Hopefully we'll get a lot of answers to these questions we just brought
up. Sure, yeah. Big storylines, big questions as we head to Las Vegas and Allegiant Stadium for Big 12 Media Days. Our question of the day right now is this. Which question do you want answered from BYU football's representatives at Big 12 Media Days? So we're going to ask a lot of questions. Maybe we'll take a few of yours with us today. At Bryant Walker 4 on X answers, can we expect improvement from the running back position this year? If so, why? This is a huge question for BYU. LJ Martin is the incumbent returner. Miles Davis went to the transfer portal, then opted to come back. Hinkley Rapati's coming off a devastating knee injury. How will those three work together? Is there something else brewing for BYU in the backfield as well? I think that's a great question.
Yeah, and I think it is directly related to the play of the offensive line as well. It all comes together, and I think BYU fans, ourselves included, really anxious to see the improvements in that area specifically. All right, if you missed our BYU Football Back to the 80s Part 2 special, recapping BYU's national championship season with Robbie Bosco, you can always find it on demand on BYUSN.com.
Up next, former BYU quarterback great and a guy who is the quarterback whisperer for so many professionals, John Beck joins us to discuss expectations for the Cougars. Is he buying the 4.5-5 wins? And what has he seen from BYU's quarterback battle? He's worked with those guys. This is BYUSN.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Everything starts with the attitude that happens in practice.
They're kind of preparing with a chip on their shoulder.
This jump from year one to year two, I think we should see like a 20 to 30% improvement.
I have this suspicion Jake is going to be pretty good if he ends up being the guy.
We know Jake's super competitive. Mr. Retzloff is hoping he earns the starting nod. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jason Shepherd, another guy who's pretty competitive. And specifically at the quarterback position while he was at BYU and in the NFL is John Beck, who joins us now. 3D QB trainer, we call him the quarterback whisperer. John, welcome back to BYUSN, who joins us from Miami. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's warm down here, fellas, and I'm doing good.
Hey, I got a phone call from you a few weeks back when you were back on campus dropping your son off at a football camp, and you got into Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and you said you were feeling all this nostalgia, man. Like, what's it like to now be the old guy that played forever ago at BYU?
I now understand better Robbie Bosco. I'll just put it that way. I think it was the same time of when I was a quarterback there, how far Robbie was ahead of me. I'm now that to these guys now. Yeah, Lavelle Edwards is a special place, especially when it's lit up at nighttime. That's why I called you, man. It was awesome. I'm driving by an empty stadium with the lights on, and I had that little flicker on the inside just say, go in there. And so they were kind enough to let me in, and I could stand there for a little bit and just take it all in.
Outstanding. Those are phone calls that are always appreciated. I was excited for football that night. We're excited for football on the eve of Big 12 Football Media Days as well. BYU picked 13th in a conference that has 16 teams for the first time ever. John, what was your initial reaction to the Cougars being picked 13th this year?
I mean, look, it probably feels like a little bit of a slap in the face to the guys on the team, but that's okay. I think anytime they do those preseason picks, they're gauging off of, well, we can't hand anybody wins. And so there's a lot of games there that I believe teams or the people picking are probably saying that's going to be pretty close. But based off of how the season finished, not going to a bowl game, I think the quarterback position, outsiders are wondering what's going to happen. You look at offensive production last year. How can you base what you saw last year and say, well, it's going to be for sure a different season? You have to go prove it. And so to me, I think BYU got this low ranking because they have a lot to prove. And that's the truth of it. As many inside the program may have excitement, those outside of the program say you haven't proven anything yet. And so I think it's fair. And as a player, that should excite you. That should be something that motivates you in the offseason. And quite frankly, I would much rather have that for a team I'm coaching than somebody telling us how great we're going to be going into an offseason. And so I think this could be great motivation for the guys.
Well, staying along those same lines, I mean, picked 13th in the conference by most prognosticators, Vegas, five wins is pretty much where most have BYU pegged for total wins this season. Number one, do you think that's fair? And number two, what are your expectations in terms of wins and losses? What's possible with this team?
Here's the thing I think. When you take off the thing of wanting BYU to have a great season, like I always do, and I just try to look at it from a perspective of, okay, what did the team look like last year? Of what we've seen this year so far through spring ball, what can we expect? I do think it will be a challenging season to be able to become bowl eligible. I don't think it's going to be easy or a cakewalk by any means. So, you know, hey, 4.5 wins, is that legit? Make it 5.5. It doesn't really matter. I do think when you look at the schedule, like you guys are putting up right now, like there are some tough games in there. And BYU is going to have to find a way to win some tough football games to be able to get past that 6th win threshold to become bowl eligible. Would I like to see them win more? Absolutely. But going into this season, you know, right now, Jake Retzlaff is the quarterback that's played the most games for BYU. He's got the most snaps. When you look at somebody from the outside saying, well, who is Jake Retzlaff and what has he done? You're not going to be able to go in there and just hand wins to BYU football. When you say, all right, well, can they establish the run game? It hasn't been proven yet. And so that's why I think, like, look, sure, call it fair. It is what it is. I do think, though, it's going to be a challenging season. We're going to have to keep guys healthy, and those guys that have come into the program are going to have to step up in a big way. I like the new additions to the coaching staff. I've been able to be around the tight ends coach a lot. I think it's going to be great to have somebody that's bringing that knowledge to that position group, because we're going to need them a lot. And that's all of those things are going to help the quarterback play. I was listening to you guys before I came on about, you know, who's going to be our starting quarterback. Is it going to be Jake? Is it going to be Gary? Those guys have worked really, really hard, and that position's going to have to be earned. And the guy that does earn the position going into, you know, the season, he's going to have to win some football games. You know, you don't get to be out there playing and not winning football games when you're trying to step in and make a statement to a year where a lot of people are doubting you.
John Beck, former BYU quarterback, great, one of the all-timers in Provo, and second-round NFL draft pick, is on BYU Sports Nation. We mentioned you train quarterbacks at the NFL level, certainly at the collegiate level, at the highest of all levels, John, and you've worked with Jake and Gary and have seen them work out and progress this season. So let's kind of assess where both of them are at this point, in your opinion, beginning with Jake Retzlaff. Where do you feel like he's taken the biggest step forward if he is to be BYU's starter in game one?
Well, Jake has really improved in his consistency throwing the football. I think if people were able to see all of his reps during spring ball, you'd be able to see that. You know, that was something. He has a unique sequence, and sometimes that works for him, and he can be in these funny body positions. And other times when he was going too fast, things could get away from him a little bit. I've seen him make great strides in his ability to be more consistent, which should lead to more accuracy. So now all that it comes down to is doing it on game day. You know, can he do those things that we saw during spring ball, which I thought was a really good spring ball by Jake? Can he do those things when it's live bullets, when it's against an opponent that's not your defense, when it's not the guys that you see every single day? And also, you have to step outside of kind of your main offensive football philosophy. You have your foundation, and you rep a lot of those foundational plays during spring ball. Well, then you get into the season, you keep those foundational plays, but then you also have to tweak things. And sometimes you don't have a ton of reps of the plays that you're going to be running on game day. And it's your ability to make it happen in the moment, even when you don't have a ton of reps at it. And so that's where, for Jake, the next stride is going to happen. He's more consistent. He's worked his tail off. I've seen him a number of times during this offseason. He's improved. Now he needs to take those improvements to game day.
What's your assessment of Gary Bohannon, John, at this point?
Well, it's been great for Gary to be healthier. When I first had an opportunity to be around him, he was still coming back from the arm injury. And so I've seen a great improvement in him because he's just healthier. I've seen it in a number of throws. To me, for Gary coming in as he's come in, it's always going to be about comfort, right? Jake is ahead in reps. He's been in the system longer. He's been around the teammates longer. He's ran plays in this system on game day. Gary brings with him experience from another program, playing a lot of games, but hasn't been in this system. So for me, he's going to be able to make some big strides continually during camp of just getting more comfortable in the system. It's good to see, though, both guys are entering camp healthy. Nobody's got some lingering injury. Gary's now a handful of months removed from when I was seeing him in the beginning. So to me, it's both these guys are about the best that they've been so far as they head into camp.
You know, John, this probably is difficult to answer, and everyone's going to sort of, a quarterback playing well, they'll have different ideas of what that means. But let's just, we mentioned the 4.5 is kind of what has been pegged in terms of wins. If BYU gets good quarterback play, how much do you think that adjusts the win total? What is good quarterback play? How many more wins do you think that could add to, say, the 4-win number that's out there right now?
Yeah, I would say probably 3 to 4. Like, I think that there's going to be 3 to 4 games this season that it's going to come down to the efficiency of quarterback play.
Wow.
And here's the thing about quarterback play. It depends so heavily on the guys around you, right? If we aren't running the ball well and protecting the quarterback, I don't care how good you are at your ability to throw the ball, make decisions. If you're getting hit every time you're throwing the football, if your team can't run the ball and you're constantly in, you know, 2nd and 9, 3rd and 7+, 3rd and 11, there's penalties and you're, you know, 3rd and long. It's too hard. So, okay, quarterback play does matter, but the pieces around the quarterback have to be functioning. If they're functioning, okay, now his decision-making, his ability to make critical plays on 3rd down, and also his ability to make something happen when there's nothing there. That's what both of these guys are going to be able to do. Both have the ability to extend plays. But I believe when you look at that schedule, there's some teams on that schedule that I think if BYU plays well, they have a chance to beat. Those are the teams that the people that pegged that 4.5 wins aren't giving BYU. But they're going to be tough. It's going to be tough, tough games. And we're probably going to be losing in the fourth quarter somewhere. And then, yes, when you're losing in the fourth quarter, what can you do offensively and quarterback play to find a way to claw back into it? Or maybe not losing, maybe I'll just say neck and neck, right? Like in those games, fourth quarter, quarterback play, it's absolutely going to matter. And I think, look, if BYU starts off the season playing well offensively, what people think about BYU football will change. I'll just use the basketball situation and what BYU basketball was able to do this last year. When they had those big wins, all of a sudden the perception of BYU basketball changed immediately. And that could happen to the BYU football team. It's going to be really tough. And they're going to have to grind their tails off, and they're going to have to find a way to make plays and to put themselves in better situations than they did last year. It has to start different than it did last year. But if it does, and those things are on track, good quarterback play can absolutely make a difference.
Elite insight from John Beck. We'll finish with this, John. Your good friend Zach Wilson, now a member of the Denver Broncos. He's in a quarterback battle of his own to be the starter in the Mile High City. He recently got engaged. Things are changing in his life. How would you assess Zach's state of mind, specifically as he approaches football with a fresh start of sorts?
I think it's been so good for Zach to get to a new place, a place where there are certain things about the organization. Look, all organizations have a feel in the building, a feel on the practice field. Yes, it's the same game, but you're in the same league, but the atmosphere and what is the culture of every team absolutely feels different. I can tell you this. Zach is really enjoying the culture that he's in. He's enjoying the people that he's around. And it's not to say that there weren't good people at the Jets. There were great people at the Jets. But this situation is allowing him to hit a restart button and to kind of be in like a rehabilitation mode, mentally, emotionally, get back to the joys of the game, get back to enjoying, you know, earning things, enjoying just grinding things out and playing ball. So I'm happy for him. I don't know how it's all going to shake down. Jarrett Stidham has shown to be efficient in practices. He played in games last year, started some games for Sean. So he's been in it a little bit more. I think it's been great for Zach to be around the coaching staff there because those guys have been with Sean for so long in New Orleans, and he has the entire band back together in Denver. I know that they picked a quarterback, Bo Nix, very, very high. So look, the future of the place is probably they're going to try to steer it that kid's direction. But in terms of Zach getting an opportunity to play in preseason games and potentially compete to start some games this year, it's absolutely there for him. And to wipe the slate clean and start over is such a good thing for Zach. It's good for all players, all athletes. And the truth be told, the ability to do that, even when you stay in the same organization, is a quality that helps athletes perform at a high, high level. Every year is a marathon of ups and downs. And whether or not you change teams, you have to be able to unhook the baggage that sometimes you're carrying around with you. Like, I love the statement, have a chip on your shoulder. You do not want to carry a boulder there on your shoulder because it just weighs you down. And so, like, for Zach, I think that he's in a great spot of just wiping so many things clean, fresh start, new system, a place that he knows excited for him. I know the quarterback coach there is really excited to have Zach, and I think good things can happen for him.
Hey, we know you're doing a great job with him in the 3D QB front. We can't wait for your 3D marital advice for Zach as well, John.
Well, look, he has found himself an amazing girl. He crushed it. She's awesome. Very positive person, very happy person. I'm really happy for both Zach and Nicolette that they were able to, you know, take the next step, and they did it like in Italy, and so it's awesome. Zach did a great job there.
Outstanding. John, we appreciate the time and your busy schedule. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you're welcome.
John Beck on BYU Sports Nation.
He's so great.
He's proclaiming he's the old. He's not that old.
No, he's not that old.
Young.
He can't be that
old. Young man.
Because that means we're really old.
It's denial for us, potentially.
Amen to that. BYU Sports Nation will be at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas for Big 12 Media Days beginning tomorrow and going through Thursday. We'll have you covered with interviews with the most prominent coaches and players in the Big 12. That's tomorrow starting at noon Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Hey, BYU football added another Group of Five road game to a future schedule. We're going to discuss what that means. And do you straight up hate it? Love it? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jason. Let's get to your Monday headlines.
All right, we've been talking a lot about it. Big 12 Football Media Days beginning tomorrow at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. All 16 teams will have players and their head coach represented at the event. BYU Sports Nation will be there live for Media Day beginning tomorrow.
Colorado State announces a home and road series with BYU football beginning with a game in 2026 where the Rams will host BYU in Fort Collins and a return game to Provo in 2029. BYU's 2026 non-conference schedule now includes Utah Tech and USF at home as well as the Colorado State game on the road. More on this coming up in the Whip.
Former Cougar Whitney Orton Morgan was named as a replacement for the U.S. team in the 5K for the 2024 Paris Olympics. Morgan took fifth place at the Olympic trials in the event, but will be competing after one runner dropped the 5K to focus on a different event coming up in the Olympics. That's now eight current or former BYU athletes who have qualified for the Paris Games. That includes Connor Mance, Clayton Young, and Rory Linkletter in the marathon. Kenneth Rooks, James Corrigan, and Courtney Waymond in the steeplechase, Whitney Orton Morgan in the 5K, and then the Jimmer in the 3x3 basketball. What an Olympics it's going to be for BYU.
The most ever Olympians in a single Olympics from BYU.
Pretty crazy.
Speaking of Jimmer Fredette, named the MVP at the 3x3 World Tour event in Edmonton over the weekend after leading Team Miami to another gold medal finish.
Daniel Schneeman had a double and an RBI single across three games this weekend for the Cleveland Guardians. Schneeman has hit safely in 16 of his first 25 career Major League Baseball games.
He's batting 260 and playing like six different positions.
And he plays all over the field.
It's incredible. Chloe Temples of BYU softball named the Spring Big 12 Scholar Athlete of the Year. Temples graduated from BYU with a 3.99 GPA as a microbiology major. In her final season, she pitched 115 and a third innings, 11-6 win-loss record, striking out 119 batters.
Sticking with softball, congrats to Maddie Bejarano, who will be representing Team Mexico in the 2024 Canada Cup International Softball Champion.
Those are today's headlines. Now, some opinions in the Whip. Jason, start us off.
All right, Colorado State announcing a future home-and-home series with BYU. Do you like the addition of the Rams to the Cougars' non-conference schedule?
I don't mind it. My biggest question is, what's BYU's Power 5 requirement going to be in the non-conference slate? Because right now it's Utah Tech, lower division. Mm-hmm. Colorado State and USF are both G5 opponents.
Somebody's got to go.
So is USF, and that game going bye-bye, and BYU has to find another Power 5 equivalent? That was my number one question. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's fine. My whole thing with the non-conference schedule is I just want to schedule 3 wins. Whoever they're against, whatever requirements you have to fill, every year going into conference play, I just want to be 3-0. So, and BYU going to Colorado State, that should be a game absolutely BYU wins. But yeah, I'm somewhat indifferent as long as BYU just schedules 3 wins going into conference play.
Well, and you probably partially already answered this question, but the follow-up is how do you feel about BYU's approach to continue to schedule specifically road G5 games in non-conference?
Yeah, I mean, I would think BYU probably has the upper hand in this stuff to where they can, if they're going to play him at home. And you can sort of force the hand that, hey, if you want to play us, you need to come here. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, however BYU gets to 3 wins in the non-conference heading into Big 12 play, that's all I care about.
I understand why it's still happening. Tom Holmoe is a guy who's loyal, and he's a man of his word, and he's made promises to these programs. Each of the next 3 seasons, BYU has a Group of 5 road game. So I'm hoping, Jason, that by 2027, BYU can be in a place where they don't have to feel like they have to go schedule road Group of 5 games, but complex beast for sure.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And maybe BYU is not good enough right now to demand that they can only have to play.
Yeah, we don't have any idea what goes on behind the scenes with this kind of stuff.
For sure. I mean, even Utah's playing a road Group of 5 game at Utah State this year. They're picked to win the Big 12. All right, we'll hear from one of the now 8 Cougars who have qualified for the Olympics next. Our conversation with marathoner Rory Linkletter. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're live in Studio B. Late last week, we spoke with former BYU track and field cross-country runner Rory Linkletter. He qualified for the Paris Olympics as well, one of BYU's 8. And we'll represent Team Canada in that marathon. Here's our conversation with one of the Elite 8, Rory Linkletter. Rory, you are part of a growing and very impressive contingent of Cougars competing in Paris at the Olympics. Only you're competing for Team Canada, man. You're repping Canada, and we think it's fantastic. Congratulations on qualifying for the Paris Olympics.
Thanks. It's an honor to be back on Sports Nation. It's been a long time, but I'm excited for Paris. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be even cooler to have so many BYU Cougars to be there and share that moment with me.
Bigger achievement, qualifying for the Olympics or being on BYU Sports Nation?
Small nod to the Olympics, I think.
Incredible. Okay, take us back to the moment that you realized you had actually done it. What was that like emotionally for you to realize, oh my gosh, I get to represent Canada and do so in Paris of all places?
Yeah, I mean, obviously if you're in the sport of track and field, it's an Olympic sport and it's one of the big summer Olympic sports, I believe. So if you're in this sport, your dream is to represent your country and to go to that biggest stage. It's like a football player wanting to play in the Super Bowl or a basketball player wanting to be at the NBA championship level. There is no higher level in our sport. So the idea of just being able to be on that stage and compete at the highest level is amazing. And so when I crossed the finish line in the race in which I hit my time qualifier, you know, I was just elated. I kind of felt like a big weight was lifted off my shoulders because at least for the last 3 years, it's all I've been able to think about is getting to on this team. Just with a post-Tokyo and watching that one from my couch and wanting to be so badly in this Paris one, knowing that I'm like in the prime / entering the prime of my career as a marathoner.
Yeah, speaking of the marathon, you're going to run it with 2 other former BYU Cougars in Connor Mance and Clayton Young. So what does it mean to you to be running with 3, well, including yourself, to be in a trio of BYU Cougars running in the Olympic marathon?
Yeah, so Connor Mance and I used to compete against each other in high school in Utah. He was a year younger than me, but he was a superstar in high school even. So we had a couple great battles dating back, you know, 12, 13 years ago. And then he became my teammate at BYU for 2 years, after he got off his mission. And Clayton was my teammate at BYU for 4.5 years. So these are guys that not only just happen to share my alma mater, but I've shared, you know, huge moments of my running development and career with. And they inspired me, honestly. They qualified for the Olympics 2 weeks before I hit my time qualifier. And I remember watching them go 1-2 at the trials and having this feeling of like, man, I really got to make this team now. Like, it'll hurt so much worse knowing that, you know, guys that I have been on the same level as, competed with my entire life, did it. It just made it feel like it was doable for me. And so I'm really grateful that, you know, they kind of paved the way for me a couple weeks before. You know, I was on my own journey before and that was my goal, but it really like gave me a big nudge towards like, I got to get this done.
Let's talk about some of the nuts and bolts. Let's go over some logistics for you. Between now and Paris, what's your schedule look like? When are you getting over there? Are you going to be there for opening ceremonies? Take us through what the lead up to the games will look like for you.
Yeah, so I've got a pretty good system in place with Athletics Canada. They're honestly like a world-class organization with how they put together preparation for these games. So performance over everything. So I will not be at the opening ceremonies. I will go over to Europe on the 26th. My race is August 10th, though. So I'll spend the last 15 days of prep in Europe getting prepared with the time change, obviously, and heat acclimatization is a big thing with the summer games. So I'll go to Barcelona for my first 9-10 days in Europe, and I won't head into Paris till 5 days before my race. Part of that is to just stay focused and not let the hoopla of the Olympics, you know, take away from your performance, but also just I think the IOC doesn't want people taking up beds for that long, honestly. So it's partially that, but yeah, so right now I'm in the thick of my training and I'll head over there at the end of this month and start my taper over there, get my heat acclimatization in Barcelona, and then get into Paris, kind of soak in that atmosphere for a few days before my race. And then I'll be there for the closing ceremonies and do a little post Olympics vacation in France with my family.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. What's how many family representatives are going to be over there cheering you on?
Yeah, so my mom is coming, my wife, her mom, and my kids, and then a lot of my extended family from Canada. That obviously, they're super pumped to have me represent Canada in the Olympics. So a big group of my dad's side of the family are all flying out, and we're going to vacation with them after. And yeah, it's really cool. It'll be fun. There's obviously going to be a lot of Cougar Nation out there. I've talked to a ton of BYU track and XC alumni that we have a group chat called Cougars in Paris where like people are organizing logistics for coming to watch and cheer on all the Cougars that'll be in Paris. And it seems like there's a big group going, so it'll be really cool.
Wow, very cool. You mentioned your wife, and we need to remind people that she in her own right was an elite athlete at BYU, the great Jill Van Mierlo, who competed at such a high level for BYU gymnastics. So why not give her a shout out too? What's that like been for you post BYU with Jill as athletes, as she has supported you in your career? What has she done in that regard to help you pursue this dream?
Yeah. Well, obviously, number one is putting up with my crap. I would say anyone who is married to or has a partner that is a marathoner, regardless of whether or not they're professional at it or at the highest level, knows that training for a marathon is time-consuming. It's energy draining. It can be stressful, especially when, you know, our livelihood is dependent on performance and making these Olympic games and things like that. So I obviously have had a very stressful last 6 months. It's been an amazing 6 months building towards Paris and making this team, but stressful nonetheless. You know, it's just one of those things where I wanted it so bad. And so there was a lot of moments where doubt crept in, and she was kind of my rock in all those moments. And she's been there for my entire journey as an athlete. Cause really when I got to BYU, I met her, you know, first day on campus, and you know, she's seen me rise in the sport. She's seen me have my lowest of lows, and she's been there through it all. And yeah, I couldn't have done it without her, obviously. And especially now that we've got the two little kids, she takes a big load of parenting so that I can focus on, you know, training really, really hard. And I do what I can to help her when I can. And we have a great balance of teamwork here. And it's been really fun.
Oh, amazing insight.
Very cool. Speaking of relationships, how much communication do you have with Coach Istone? What's the relationship with Coach Istone still to this day?
I mean, Coach Istone is an amazing person. He's an amazing guy. So I think all of his athletes that have ever run for him have nothing but good things to say about him. So I've stayed in touch with him over the years. I just saw him a few weeks ago because I came out to Park City to train with Mance and Clayton for 2 weeks at the beginning of June. So I saw Ed for a little brief moment while he was, you know, bouncing between NCAAs and getting ready for the Olympic trials. But he's still a great friend. I'll see him at another BYU alumni's wedding this upcoming weekend or 2 weekends from now here in Flagstaff, funny enough. So he's a guy that I've stayed in touch with. He called me when I qualified and was just so proud and expressed how proud he was of me. I'd say I still claim him as my coach. I still call him Coach Istone. He's still, you know, a big part of my development as an athlete. And I think he can definitely claim all my success. I would give him all the credit in the world. And I think he, you know, kind of like a proud, proud coach, proud uncle, proud whatever, you know, someone that kind of just cheers you on from the side at this point.
Somewhere, Rory, when you are running in the marathon, he'll be giving you the Istone windmill. Like it'll be happening for sure. You mentioned achieving a dream of getting to the Olympics because that in its own right is unbelievable, and you deserve massive credit for that. What's the next step as far as expectations go? Now that you're in the race, have you set a bar for yourself for the race in Paris? If so, what is it?
One of my, the number one goal is as always with the marathon. It's a marathon's a race of execution, of patience, of just doing your own thing and learning how to handle all the battles that come with being out there for 2+ hours and grinding. So first and foremost, execute a good race. I think if I execute a good race, I can compete really well and beat a lot of guys that on paper are obviously, you know, far better than me when you look at the times on the sheet. But races are run on the road, not on paper. Mm. And my two like weird arbitrary goals that obviously I have no control over because, you know, how other people do is how they've prepared and how they execute on the day. Is I'd like to be top 10. I think that's a realistic like stretch goal for me. And I would also like to be the top North American. So wink, wink. I think you know what that means.
Certainly. We'll throw in another one to be the top BYU guy, right? Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let's go. Hey, Rory, to say the least, we are thrilled for you and cannot wait to watch you compete in Paris in the marathon. We will be watching closely. We're sending you a ton of BYU Sports Nation karma for your training in Flagstaff to get through an alumni wedding and then eventually get over to Paris as well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that a lot. And go Cougs. I'm excited for this football season in the Big 12.
Us too, Rory. Big 12 Media Day is tomorrow. What question do you want answered from BYU football's representatives at those Big 12 Media Days? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Our question of the day is, which question do you want answered from BYU football's representatives at Big 12 Media Days? Maybe we'll take a few of your questions down there with us and ask them. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from Travis Tingy on X, who says, what position groups are you expecting fans and the media to be most surprised with? I'm hoping, Travis continues, that Kalani says the offensive line and quarterback improvement. Okay.
All right. I like it.
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about Whitney Orton Morgan qualifying Amazing. For the Olympics, bringing BYU's total to 8? 8 current or former BYU athletes represented in Perry.
Our salute to Whitney Orton Morgan. That's awesome. Is there anybody else that's going to, like, it's not technically over yet?
No.
We're not done yet, Jason.
I want to know how that stacks up to others. I've got to
8 from one program?
From one program.
That's a lot.
It is, yep.
All right, our thanks to today's guest, John Beck, the quarterback whisperer, and again, one of those eight Olympians, Rory Linkletter, is running the marathon for Team Canada.
The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows you can find on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Tavita Ofengawe. We'll see you tomorrow from Las Vegas. Go Cougs!